The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
All right. I know they've all got one more to go, but it looks like we've got a Final Four in the NBA and a lot of other good stuff to get to. Let's do this. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe with me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model, Jong Lee, the bleeping master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jong Snow with a zero, not an O, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Hope everybody had an awesome weekend. Let's have some fun today. What's happening, Hoffman?
Sports, sports, sports. What's going on with you, man?
Yeah, a lot of sports. A lot of sports. How was your weekend?
It's okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, baseball. It's all right. Baseball.
Yeah. So.
Lost to some nine-year-olds.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a negative.
Yep. five errors in the game.
Well, that'll do it.
Four base runners caught stealing.
Hmm, okay. So yeah. You went out of your way to lose that one as well.
Oh, yes. And then the best part, one of the kids comes in, one of the kids who got thrown out stealing without a sign, he bounced into the dugout after we just lost this game and says, "I feel great." I said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah, it's just a game." And I went, "All right." And I had to not talk to him because it was super frustrating.
Yeah, I could see that going the wrong way real fast.
Listen, it is just a game, but if that I'm a big believer, if that's your mindset, you probably should be playing like, you know, Metro League, like just playing with other kids who don't give a damn,
or and maybe don't get caught stealing without a sign,
and then they all get a trophy, and one of the moms hands every one of them a Gatorade on their way out of the dugout. Like, go play on one of those teams if it's just a game to you. But yeah, it did give me some time to sit home and watch the games last night, which was beneficial. And I don't know about you, I'll just go ahead and say outright how I feel. I think if James Harden wasn't on the Rockets, no Rockets fan would be a fan of him. I think he is the hardest player in the NBA to cheer for. Watching that game last night, like his entire game is based on getting to the free throw line. Like, since when is that fun basketball? To me, it's the worst. And the referees are not doing anybody any favors by coddling him with it. But
the difference is in this postseason, I think he's got the reputation. Now, in the past, he wouldn't get those calls in the postseason. He'd get them all season long and then not get them. And now he's starting to get them.
What he's like doing, he stops in the, like he's taking the ball up the court, stops, let the guy behind him run into his back and then throws his arms up. And that's a defensive foul. I mean, it's just absurd. And, you know, the Dante Exum play yesterday where he basically clamps down Exum's arm and then loses the ball on the way up and throws it into his face. And then that's somehow a foul on Exum. I was like, what is going on here? I mean, I guess it's part of being a superstar is you get those calls now. But am I wrong in saying James Harden is just as big, if not the biggest flopper in the NBA?
Well, you and that Utah fan agree then, huh? The one that got his phone busted?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he is. I mean, he's got...
It's hard to say because...
It's 100% he's the biggest non-Euro flopper. Like, some of those Euro guys are... I mean, and they're bad at it. James Harden is awesome at it.
The Euro guys all learned it from soccer.
Yeah. James, and this is... This part I say complimentary. He is great at it. He is great at selling contact. Like, he'll force contact and then throw his body the other direction based on where the referee is standing. So it looks like he's the one who didn't create the con. I mean, it's borderline genius the way he does it, but it's awful to watch. I mean, I hate it. I hate it. And I want to, like, I grew up a Rockets fan. I want to cheer for the Rockets, especially against the stupid Jazz. But I'm not a James Harden fan. I'm an anti-James Harden fan. He might be. In fact, I'm a James Harden hater. I'm a hater. I just hate his game. I hate watching him. Am I crazy? Are you seeing this?
I'm seeing it. Yeah, I'm not as crazy. I've never been that crazy about that kind of basketball. And I don't know if he's the worst because, I'd be honest, I don't watch closely enough around the league to see who else is doing it. So it's just I do see him, and I kind of know what he does. So, yeah, but it is a very tough style of basketball to watch. And, you know, that's been him since he's been here, and he's really good at it.
And, you know, I was telling Joel and Nick before their show even, I was in here a little early today, and when they were prepping their show, I was talking to them a little. And it's funny because I really like Chris Paul. I really like Clint Capella. I really like PJ Tucker. Like, there's guys on this team. I want to be a fan of this team. But as long as he is the focal point, I just can't get behind it. I can't feel like, oh, yeah, I really want them to win. Because I don't – that's like it's like you do. It's like you root for Darth Vader. Like you're rooting for the bad guy.
Well, I like
that's
Darth
why you
Vader.
Like it. Yeah.
I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm not a fan of that style of basketball.
He's bad for basketball.
Yeah, I guess. I mean,
and listen, he's not the only one who we talked about this also. Like Steph Curry, every jump shot, he as soon as he lets it go, he throws himself off to make it look like he got hit, but. I mean, they're not calling fouls on jump shots nearly as much as they are on Harden driving to the basket. And like I said, God bless him. He's figured out a way around essentially everything. And his like if I said, what is James Harden the best at? It's drawing a foul, right? That's like his best attribute as a basketball player.
It's one of his best, yeah. I think
and his second best is probably free throw shooting, which is very convenient.
I think those two things are related, obviously. But I mean, he's pretty damn good at that step back three too.
Yeah,
I think that's and that part
which
of his
that
game
part
I like.
I like.
Yeah,
I like that. I wish there was more of that and less of the other stuff.
I think there are a lot of games where he's not doing that as much, and I think. The way the game shape went last night, where it was going to be that kind of slow Jazz type game, that was the play for him. And yeah, it's not the sexiest thing to watch, but it's effective for him. And yeah, it's going to be real interesting because I think now there's no doubt in anybody's mind that it's going to be Rockets Warriors. It's going to be Celtics and Cavs. So now we can get rid of all these little also-rans that don't belong and get into the real business. And I think that'll be that series I'm looking forward to. I still, the more I watch the Warriors, I just don't see the Rockets winning that.
No, I don't either.
I know people don't want to hear that. But
I know they don't. But, I mean, I will say this. The Rockets played better this weekend than I thought they would. Like, coming out of their 2-0,
yeah,
that's a big win for them, and I mean that pretty much seals the deal in that series. But it leads us to the inevitable matchup that we kind of thought there would be.
Yeah,
and you know I've watched every game both of these two teams have played in the playoffs, and I feel a lot better about the Warriors, especially now with Steph Curry. I mean they just seem like they look like they're full strength again.
Yeah,
and that's a tough task.
713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Greg says, I'm glad the Rockets are winning, but man, I'm leaning towards AJ's opinion on James Harden more and more. So, I don't know. I think there's a lot of times when I watch him play that I do like watch. I like it when he's shooting threes and setting guys up and running the pick and roll. The foul thing, But at this stage, you get the playoffs, and that's how a lot of these games look. So I don't have to be a fan of it if it works.
Yeah.
And I there's still other players on this team I like watching. Although Chris Paul, who I love as a player, love his game, he does some of that stuff too. And he also, he's also kind of a little dirty. He's another guy that if he weren't on your team, you'd be like,
I don't mind that though. I don't mind. Yeah. Like, he's a guy that if he's on your team, you like him because he does the things that you like. I actually like the dirty type players. Like, I like Pat Beverly when he was here. I don't mind. And I like Draymond Green. Like, I know everybody hates Draymond Green and everybody who's not a Warriors fan, but I think it's awesome having a guy like that on your team. I think Chris Paul is a little less bullyish version of Draymond Green, but he's a guy who's not afraid to get in on you and rough you up a little bit. And I think that's a good thing for a team. I like Chris Paul. In fact, I love Chris Paul's game when he's healthy.
Yeah, I do too. And it's funny how Donovan Mitchell was whining about Harden.
Oh, Donovan Mitchell's a big crybaby flopper, yeah, too. I mean, now there was a play where he drove down the court and got pretty clearly fouled by James Harden. And when he came down, he tried to grab the ball that Harden was going for. Then they called a foul on him. And that was right after he got hacked going up the last time. And then Donovan Mitchell looks at the ref and says, "Dude, you're standing right here. How are you missing? You're right here." But I don't feel bad for Donovan Mitchell because he's another one of these guys who throws his arms around and tries to get to the free throw line. I don't like that kind of basketball. I don't like it.
Somebody says Harden's the best isolation player in the league. I wouldn't argue that. I've just never been a big fan of isolation, even back when Charles Barkley was playing here.
Man, I was screaming at the TV when they got into like the fourth quarter and the game got real tight. All they were doing was either Chris Paul isolation or James Harden isolation. Chris Paul isolation kind of worked because he was doing the pick and roll, kind of running around in the paint and actually getting the shot he wanted. James Harden, though, man, some of those isolation plays, you got some shot clock violations in there and some bad turnovers. I was like, this is getting ugly. Like, Jazz were catching up, and I was like, uh-oh.
Yeah, is the best ISO player, is that a good thing?
I would still say LeBron James is the best ISO player.
I still think so, too. Yeah.
But you know what? I don't really like it when he does it either.
I don't either.
I think it's boring basketball.
I don't either. But one thing about LeBron, if he goes to the basket, he's not looking to get there in hopes that he gets a foul call. He's looking to flush it, which I appreciate. Kevin Durant's up in that conversation, too, I would say, as best ISO players. But, yeah, he's amongst the best. I'll give you that. But if he doesn't get to the line, like, how often do you really see him getting there and finishing without just throwing his arms up and hoping he gets a foul call?
Well, I think he tries to finish, and then when it's clear he's not going to make the shot, he does that.
Yeah.
So, all right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
All right, guys. There's a lot of different energy providers out there, and they're all making great offers. At least they sound great on paper. They'll say, oh, you get free weekends. You get free days. You get $600 bonuses. The list goes on and on. And you may have fallen for one of those offers, and then months later found out that you're paying a much higher rate or they've thrown some additional fees on your bill. And you know how I feel about fees. I'm anti-fee. Tri-Eagle keeps it simple. The rate you see, that's the rate you're going to pay. No gimmicks, no minimum usage fees, no charges for going over a certain amount of electricity. Just good, honest business from a good, honest, made-in-Texas company. Give them a call, 877-93-EAGLE. Or log on to TriEagleEnergy.com. Use promo code ESPN. You'll get yourself an additional discount. 877-93-EAGLE or TriEagleEnergy.com. Remember that promo code ESPN. PUCT license number 10064 for my guys over at TriEagle Energy.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. And usually we have him on at 5:30 on Mondays, but he's got stuff to do today. So Lance Erline joins us a little early. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
AJ just ripping on James Harden.
Much Why are you hating on Harden?
I hate watching
him. He's the most likable pro athlete in Houston history.
No, he's not.
Is he in the top 10?
Nope.
20?
No. He might be.
He's probably in the top 30.
He's in my bottom five NBA players, period. Like, I hate watching him play. Well, and I hate that they
You hate watching him play? Like, how he plays basketball?
Yeah.
What do you hate about it?
I hate that his entire game is predicated on flopping and getting to the free throw line.
Like, well, step back threes, too.
Well, that's what we were just talking about. I would love it if we'd see more of that.
Oh, he'll give you a lot of it.
But last night, there was a lot of the... Because the step back three wasn't working. Was he 1 of 8 from three?
Yeah.
So...
1 of 7, I think.
His way to make up for that is to do the duck my head, drive to the basket, throw my arms up with no real shot attempt, and get to the free throw line.
So that one... Now, that one irritates me. It's one thing when he's getting to the rim trying to finish, because he's actually a really good finisher at the rim. Left-handed, he can do a little bit right-handed. When he start, and for whatever reason, it's in the playoffs that he starts doing this, where he will go up empty-handed.
Yes, and just
like
throw his
hands up.
It's
almost like, James, you can't. They don't give that to you in the playoffs. Very rarely do they. I guess he got some yesterday, but a lot of times that's not going to get there. The old fake, you know, where you go up with no ball in your hands at all. They will let that go in the playoffs, and it drives me crazy because, like, James, man, you got to go up and try to finish for real. You can't pull this trying to get to the free throw line stuff. Just naturally, the way he plays, he's going to get to the line right more. He's big. He's physical. He creates contact. But, you know, I always wanted to make a shirt that just said freeze and threes because that's what they want. They want free throws and they want three-point shots. I mean, they want layups and dunks too.
And I'm not saying he's not good at what he does.
No, he's very good at
it. I'm just saying it's not enjoyable for me to watch. And I know in this town, like, it's, you know, you're supposed to hate the Warriors, and I've been preaching the Warriors gospel here for the last 5 years. Like, the year before they won a championship,
this
is what I want to watch. Like, I'll stay up late and watch TNT. I'll watch West Coast basketball to watch these guys play.
Yeah, it's funny because they shoot a bunch of threes, but they do it with a motion-based offense. Like, yes. It's a little different where Houston has some motion in their offense, but they'll also go to the 1-4 sets too, especially when it's 1-4 with a high screener. And once a high screener, it's going to be pick and roll with a kick-out option. You know, that's a lot of times what their offense will be. My dad calls today. He said, you know, I don't watch that much NBA anymore, but I read an article in Sports Illustrated about the Rockets and – you know, the way that they play basketball and the math that they use, and they don't like the mid-range jumpers and all this stuff. So I decided to watch him yesterday, and it was just strange. It was like I was watching college football. He likened it to college football. He said, the big man is just gone, the low post presence, and it's really just, if he said, it feels a lot like college football. And I said, I know what you mean, because in college football, it's about how many plays can we run. And if we can run a certain amount of plays, we expect to score a certain amount of points, and we're going to beat you. It's not about clock management or anything like that. It's about getting a certain amount of plays run. And so, and I said, yeah, that actually is a lot like college football when you think about it, because it's based on math, what the Rockets do. I said, what's ironic is you actually watched the game where they had the most mid-range jumpers that they've had in 3 years.
Yeah.
Like, that was the – he goes, that was the game they had the most? I said, oh, yeah. Like 28 shots inside of three, which is their most that they've had, like, or I think inside three that were not dunks or something like that. That was the most they've had in like 3 years, something crazy like that.
What kind of football stuff you got going on? You still doing things for NFL.com?
Yeah, so I've got to write articles. These are the articles that piss guys off. Right now we're trying to make teams, like I was able to make some teams and fans mad by, they had me create power rankings and rank 1 through 32, everyone's draft. So what was amazing is I just used what I put on the player, the draft grade I gave the player, the number, and I basically made a few changes, but I would basically just add up those numbers and divide by the amount of picks. And that's how I came up with a team's power rankings. And it was amazing because fans, like, it wasn't a personal opinion. And, oh, my God, does that make fans mad? I know a general manager who was ticked off about, like, who cares what my power rankings are? What are y'all? I don't care. I honestly don't care what this even says. I don't even care. I don't care who's won. Giants fans who I have a number one on them for their draft class, number one. And it's not even an opinion. It's just based on my power rankings, which is an opinion pre-draft of a player. They were so mad that the Cowboys were number two. They were so furious. They didn't even care about being number one. They were mad that my numbers came up number two for the Dallas Cowboys. Just furious. They were so mad, like, these, your rankings are trash. You've lost all credibility. Like, what? You're number one. What are you talking about?
Do you hate that you have to do things like that?
I hate doing that stuff. I don't like grades on drafts because how are you going to grade a test that hasn't been taken? That's like you just walk into class and here's your D, here's your 72. Like, who gave me that? I haven't even taken it. I've been studying all weekend for this test. Oh, there's a guy in Houston just gave you a D.
People read the hell out of it though, and that's why.
Yeah, they do. It gets clicks, and it. You know, the other thing is this week I got to write late round guys who are going to outperform their draft stock, which I like doing that.
Yeah,
it gives me a chance to tell you who the steals are.
But that's simple because you already have the guys that you like.
So if I see a 5.8 who's in a fifth round, yeah, it's much easier for me to find.
Yeah,
absolutely. And then now you do have to look at certain situations that may not be great for those players.
Right.
There may be a little too much depth there, or there may be a great situation. So I'll fine tune it. But you're right; it's an easy jump off point. But the other one, because there's always got to be a yang also, the other one is early round picks who could – I finally got them to change the language. Early round picks who will disappoint was originally what it was. And I said, can we change it to may start off slower than you expected or something that doesn't make it sound like they're trash?
Right.
Because that's not what I'm saying, and that's not what I do. And so in my write-ups, I'm very careful to say why – they may get off to a slow start, but I'm also not killing the guy. And this is the article. This is the one. I put that about Quincy Wilson, I think, last year. And Quincy Wilson was so hot at me from the Colts from Florida because he said, you know, I was bashing him the whole time. And all I said was I thought he needed to be a safety instead of a corner. And I had a second-round grade. He got drafted in the second. I don't know. Somehow I'm a hater. Tease Tabor called me a hater. You ran a 4.7, dude. You're a cornerback. I'm not being a hater. That's super slow for a cornerback. And I said your lack of speed could hurt your draft standing. That's all I said. You play faster than you ran, but a disappointing 40 time. You're 4.7. That's slow for a safety.
Yeah.
That's slow for tight ends now.
That's slow for a linebacker.
Yeah, that is slow for a linebacker. Yeah. Don't come at me with your 4.7 40 and like, oh, you hating-ass, grown-ass man. Like, hating-ass, grown-ass man. Dude, run faster.
Yeah.
So I don't have to hate on you. Just run faster. Run a 4.6.
Don't run the same 40 as Sam Darnold.
I mean, Zach Cunningham whipped your ass, and Dylan Cole crushed you, an undrafted free agent linebacker.
When the quarterback you're trying to pick off runs a faster 40 than you,
exactly.
That ain't good.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's the game, man. That's what you get when you put yourself out there. Trust me, I learned that this weekend when my derby picks didn't come through.
I know John was hating on you this morning because that woman won. He said, screw Fred's picks. I'm going with that woman who hit the pick five who won $1.2 million.
Yeah, good for her.
$18.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fact that she found that four horse that won in that sprint race early in the card, I couldn't find that even after the race.
Yeah, that's because she didn't find it. It was lucky. It was probably somebody who waited on her at one point, and the name was there, like Julie's Knapsack. And, oh, I remember Julie from Katz's Deli. Oh, yeah, let's put her in. Those are the people who get the cheese a lot of times, not grinders like you, Fred, who put all the time into it, because sometimes things just don't make sense.
Yeah, well, in the end, this one kind of did, but I...
did it?
Yeah, when the favorite wins, though, you can almost assume I'm not winning. Favorites win 33% of the time. I'm interested in the other 67%. And so when a favorite wins, and there were a lot of reasons to play against him. He surprised me. He ran fantastic race, which happens, and now I'll make money on him in the next one.
So you had, but if you're doing like a pick five, you're not.
Yeah, I didn't do
the
pick
fives. Favorites on five races.
No. You don't do that on something like that. But for trifectas and things like that, yeah, you're
trying to catch a.
Yeah,
big paycheck.
Trying to catch a big score, and didn't work out this time. But I mean, I had all the horses. I just didn't play them in that order because usually if it's favorite, middle favorite, other favorite. You know, I'm not going to have that. That's just not how I'm going to play a Kentucky Derby. But I'm going to have to reevaluate because this is six straight favorites. And I think there's some reasons behind it now. And so moving forward, I'll probably have to look at the race a little bit differently.
AJ probably, you know this, Fred, I'm pretty sure. AJ doesn't know this. But so I got my start in radio. I created my own handicapping business. And I started when I was 24 years old. I had my own handicapping service. And I would go on radio shows and give my picks. You want to talk about putting yourself out there. That was my primary mode of income for like 2.5 years, 3 years was picking games, college, I mean, you know, pro college football, pro college basketball, and a little bit of baseball, but I wasn't very good at baseball. And man, when that's how you depend on paying bills, I mean, you don't have to have one penny of your own dollars on, you don't have to have one penny on it because you already are playing it through other people.
Right.
And I mean, that's in the day when I had to answer calls and give out picks daily on my phone. Like they would call my phone.
You didn't
phone.
Have Twitter. You didn't have like a, there was none of that stuff.
Like, I had to like fade the phone calls. If I had an 0-6 run going like, I've got to answer this and give out picks. And so I was pretty good though, but I'll never forget there was a time it was a Miami Heat game. And I want to say it was maybe the Heat versus the Cavs. And I had the under, and it got right up near the number. And I swear, this is not an exaggeration. I was starting to gag, like throw. I was so nervous. I was about to throw up. I was actually kind of like physically throwing up out of nerves. And I ended up winning it, but I was like, yeah, man, this is tough.
That's how I was all day Saturday. I was completely stressed out the entire time. And for my little group, we hit a couple of the undercard races and made some money on that, but didn't hit the Derby. And I hate it when people are using my picks and don't win. It's stressful, and that's why I mean this, next year is the last year I'm doing it, and then I'm done with it.
Well, and like I put out basically every college basketball play I make over the course of a season. Yeah. I put it out on Twitter. I don't take any money for it. I do my handicapping and I post my plays. I ended up going 58% this year.
That's good.
Freaking great.
Yeah.
You think I got much positive feedback?
Or no, because people don't know.
Yeah.
People don't know that you need to hit, you know, to be good, you need to hit 57%. Yeah, that's hard to do.
Most people were actually pretty cool Saturday, except for the one guy who said that he wished somebody would take an ice pick to my scrotum. But other than that,
it sounds like you must have put out a mock draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I can get about 10 of those in about an hour on a mock draft.
By the way, that sounds like an awesome piercing. So, I wish somebody would do that too.
I do that. I put my picks out there on 500 players every year in the mock draft. So if people want, not mock draft, but those player profiles.
Yeah.
So if I miss on a guy, if you want to go through 500, let's say I hit 98%, which would be the most ridiculous percentage in the history of football evaluation. Somebody could still go out there and find plenty of misses and say, you're terrible, you're terrible. Or this is the worst. People who go to your mock draft and judge, you're trying to predict what a team will do, which is nothing but guesswork.
Right.
It's basically a lottery, which changes drastically based on something that happens in front of them because it can be a complete butterfly effect. And people like to act like they're calling the experts out who only got four in a mock draft. Like, if you want to judge how good people are, take a look at how they evaluate players and what they think of players and what they're going to do. Not if they get a mock draft where you're trying to predict what somebody will do.
Right.
That's ridiculous. It's not even handicapping races. There, right now, you don't know what kind of whims the team has.
You don't have film on a GM or a scout. You have film on players.
No. And you don't, and your own personal opinion about players should be more important than how you predict someone might be thinking.
Right.
You know, after the board breaks in front of them. So, I don't know, kind of ridiculous.
Well, Lance, we appreciate the time. I know you got to get out of here, so.
I just can't believe you. I can't believe you're so down on James Harden. He is one of the most likable scoring leaders of all time.
Yeah. I think he and last year's MVP might be my two least favorite guys to watch in the NBA.
Russell's one of my, well, it's weird because they can be my least and most favorite. It's like, it's a weird thing where no one has Russell's explosiveness. Like I don't know anyone else who plays with that level of fury and explosiveness, but he's so dumb and crazy that it drives me crazy. It just drives me insane watching it. And with James, he can be absolutely brilliant, has great, when he gets hot, it's unbelievable. He has great court vision and all this. And then he just does things that really irritate you. And plus, I don't think he's just not a fan favorite type of guy.
He's not a likable.
He's not accessible to character. The crowd, the fans. Yeah. I mean, I try to eliminate that when I analyze him. I know exactly what you're talking about, the guy. I think he's a great basketball player, and I try to be fair and analyze him as the player because from a personality standpoint, I'm not that crazy about him because I just sometimes I get the feeling he just doesn't like fans at all. And that just kind of irritates me. You don't see him, You know, you just don't see any kind of interaction with the fans almost at all. And the fans in Houston love him, and I just wish he was more, I think, appreciative of the fan base. That's all.
I think he's one of those guys that is, as soon as he leaves here,
he's done with Houston.
Rockets fans will realize that. It's just like there was a time 3-4 years ago where you could tell a Rocket fan all day long, Chandler Parsons is a douchebag. Mm-hmm. This guy is a scrub human. And they'd be like, you're crazy. He goes to Dallas. Man, Chandler Parsons is a scrub. Like, that guy sucks. He's a douchebag. It's like, I mean, as long as James Harden is wearing that red shirt.
But to be fair, he's going to finish one or two in MVP for three of the last 4 years. I mean, Chandler never reached anything
like that. I'm just saying.
When they're yours.
You like them.
It's just like college football idiots who, when a kid is committed to them, as soon as let that kid decommit, like, you know, thankfully, can I be honest with you guys? I'm glad he didn't commit, because if you don't want to be here, you know, I need to go to his Twitter and tell that 17-year-old exactly what I think about him. If you don't want to be here, you have low character, low class anyway. Your parents didn't raise you right. Do you even have parents? Like, oh, you're going too hard in on a 17-year-old Twitter guy.
But there's fans of 29 teams in the NBA who will tell you Draymond Green is a horrible human. They would never want him on their team. But then when he's on your team,
Pat Beverly, we had that guy. We had that guy here in Pat Beverly.
Yep.
I mean, Pat Beverly's the same, and I loved Pat Beverly here.
I did too.
The GMs around in any sport. My buddy with the Colts, he loves Pat Beverly. He goes, "Oh my God, I'd take 5 Pat Beverlys every day, except we wouldn't score."
Right.
So yeah, that's the problem.
All right, that's Lance Erline. You can hear him on the bench 7 to 9 every morning, guys. I got to tell you about Thrive Plus, and hey. Let's say you're going to drink a little bit later in the week, because that's what we do, right? Well, we all like to have a little bit of a drink. Well, if you can, they're in Houston, which is cool, so you can call them today. And if you call before 4 o'clock and order, or go online and order before 4 o'clock, it'll be there the next day. Just go to DecideThrive.com. I love to have a few drinks, and I don't want to feel like garbage when I get up the next day. And that's why I use Thrive Plus. They're on Shark Tank. If you didn't see them on there, they were fantastic. Basically, what Thrive does, it's designed to reduce alcohol's negative effects and make you feel better the next day. And it works primarily by giving your liver the enzymes it needs to break down alcohol and its other toxic byproducts. So you just take 3 of them before you go to bed or after your last drink, and it's that simple. Basically, $1 pill, so $3 to feel just fine the next day. And almost everybody this weekend when I was out the track, people asked me, does it work? Does it work? Oh yeah. Trust me, I don't drink without it anymore. And if you don't feel at least 50% better the next day, they'll give you your money back. No questions asked. No need to even ship anything back. They're just going to give you your money back. To order Thrive Plus, go to DecideThrive.com. That's DecideThrive.com. Based right here in Houston. So you're doing business with a Houston company. DecideThrive.com.
Show me the truth. Heavy the heart, broken apart, still never the same. Nowhere to rest, never confess, still living in chains. Stars on fire.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
All right, guys, coming up Sunday, May 20th, the second annual Love Street Music Fest at Carbach. Bleachers, Cold War Kids, Everclear, the Tauntauns, and the Unlikely Candidates all going to be playing. Get your tickets online now for $30. They'll be $40 at the door, so get them while you can. VIP Pass is still available, which includes a separate VIP entrance, a VIP area with an optimal view, an indoor restroom, 3 beers of your choice, plus access to special tappings and a buffet by Carbach Restaurant. There's no ticket needed for children under 10 if they're accompanied by a parent. This year's festival is going to have a bigger layout, more token stations, more beer stations, more local vendors. It's a great day to celebrate the perfect combination. Live music and cold, refreshing Carbach beer. Gates open at 1. While you're out there, make sure you try some of the grub from the restaurant. All the menu items pair perfectly with a fresh tapped Carbach beer. Love Street Music Fest, Sunday, May 20th. Visit CarbachBrewing.com for more info and tickets. Follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and pick up your favorite Carbach beer today, or tell your bartender to please make it a Carbach.
From
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. A lot of good stuff on Sports Map today. Charlie Polillo has his video up. Jermaine Every has a video on the Astros. I've got my observations on the Rockets, the Derby, and a few other things, including something that I'll get on a rant on at some point this week. I'm actually going to write an article.
I can't wait for this. Give me a preview in the editorial meeting.
I'm going to go after cyclists, of which I am one.
You are one.
And cars. I'm going to go after both.
You're not a car.
No, but I drive a car.
You drive a car.
Yeah. But I think it's time that people actually start thinking about just what the hell they're doing sometimes, but I'll get to that later. I may
do that.
Do
you digress?
I'm digressing a little bit, yeah. Okay. But I did. Well, all right. What the hell? We got a little time here.
What are we, busy?
Yeah.
We got a show to do or something?
There's nothing to say about the Rockets right now.
Right.
They're going to win the series. It's over. Well, yesterday morning, I was planning to sleep in because it was a long day for the Derby on Saturday, which was a lot of fun. I had a blast. I met a bunch of cool Blitzers. Had lots to drink, judge the hat contest. So didn't
male or female winner?
Female.
Typical.
Well, male judges, all three of us.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say anything, but we all kind of agreed. So we didn't even have any fight about it, but, just an awesome time. And I got to hang out. Well, of course I had like the best crew ever. It was like Lawyer Dave and Lawyer John and, Holly and Roger. So it was like all of my favorite people. And we just had a blast. And I was disappointed that the picks didn't come out the way that I wanted them, but you know, that's okay. That's everything's a learning experience, and I'll move forward and make money off the Preakness.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to make money on the Preakness because that horse is probably going to win again, right?
He's going to win again.
So you got to figure out who can finish with him.
But all I need is a good long shot to come in behind him, and that's what we'll find. And so had a great time there. Awesome day. Went home. Said, all right, I'm just going to sleep all day Sunday. I was supposed to do a 5K. I just decided I'm not going to do it. Wife wakes me up and says, hey, there's a bike ride we should go do. It's a 30-mile bike ride. It's
30 miles?
Yeah, it's connecting.
That's relaxing?
Well, I didn't think it. I was at that point, I was still kind of like, man. Because last week was a mess for me. I was busy basically start to finish.
Like,
then,
if I said, honey, I don't want to run the 5K today because I had a long day yesterday. I just want to relax. If she then said, how about a 30-mile bike ride? I'd think she'd lost her mind.
Yeah, well, maybe she did. But and what I've come to realize is that, you know, I hear cyclists bitching about cars. I hear cars bitching about cyclists. I got to tell you, you're both right. And until people start doing little things like being considerate of other folks, whether you're on a bike or in a car, then everybody's going to hate everybody. And this was a really, on the surface, it looked like it was going to be a really cool ride. It was basically they were going to take us to this new connected trails that they have between White Oak and all this stuff. And the problem was there's like 150 people show up for this thing. And you can't get that many people on a trail. It's just, it's impossible. So we're doing this thing, and so many people in this bike ride were being complete a-holes. So, like, these families are out for a stroll with their kid on the trail, and they're damn near running them over. And it's real simple, man. Just, you know, and there were these two guys in front of me, and I finally said something to them, and they just ignored me as they did everything else. And they had bikes with really wide handlebars, and they're riding side by side. So they're basically taking up the whole trail. And anytime somebody was coming the other way, here's a simple little courteous thing you do. You go single file so the other person can go by no problem, right?
Yeah.
No, you don't take up the entire thing and force some woman off into a ditch. They didn't even stop, check on her. They just kept going. So some woman goes off in a ditch. They almost run over a pedestrian. And people wonder why other people hate bicyclists. Because you're doing dickweed stuff. That's just, I mean, that kind of stuff drives me nuts. It's real simple, man. If you're on the road, obey the rules of the road. That means if there's a red light, stop. You know, if you're on a trail, make room for the other person coming the other way. Just kind of keep in mind that there's other people using the trail, and some of them are walking, and don't try to run them over. And it drives me nuts, man. And so we got about halfway through it, and I just said, you know what? I'm not doing this. This is these people are jerks that are in this thing. And, you know, those two guys caused like four incidents and never moved, neither one of them. So, dudes, if you're listening, you're both dickweeds. And instead of somebody stabbing me in the satchel with an ice pick, I hope they stab you instead.
Well, that's not a nice thing.
Well,
to
they
say.
Weren't nice either. Listen, you know how much easier life would be if we'd all just be a little bit courteous about things?
Yeah.
Like, simple things, man. This doesn't mean you have to stop being a jerk in your job or stop being, you know, whatever kind of a-hole you are the rest of the time. Let's say you're out on a path. Just, hey, single file. Let the other person go the other way. That's a simple little thing you can do that makes you not a dickweed. If you're in a car, don't pull right up next to a bike to try to, you know, let them know you can run them over. Yeah, we know you can run us over. It's a little thing. You don't have to. You know, I'm sorry that the half second that it took you to come up really close there, I'm sure that's going to help you make that next light up there. It's going to make all the difference in the world. I mean, just be a little courteous. That's it. And if we'd all just do that, just make an effort.
That's not going to happen, though. We got to figure out a different way.
Well, I'm with Thanos. Let's get rid of half the people.
Well.
And let's get rid of the ones that are not courteous.
You need an infinity gauntlet.
I'm going to try to find one. But yeah, that was very frustrating. And it's just because, and I, to be fair, I don't think they realized there were going to be that many people. If there were 30 or 40, it would have been fine. But when you have that many, you can't do a bike ride on a trail. It's got to be on the street.
Yeah.
So.
Hey, man, f*** that.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, that was my day. And so we wound up not doing the whole 30 miles because I just.
Because you got tired of it.
Everybody was getting frustrated with it. And some other people were pretty upset, too. So we just wound up doing 20 miles and then went home.
Just for me.
Went and had some fajitas and margaritas for lunch, and then spent the rest of the day chilling, watching that Bosch, which I think you need to get on. I think you'd like that. Season two was terrific. Season one was pretty good. Season two, terrific. It's a different setting, but it reminds me a lot of Longmire.
Okay.
It's got some of the same qualities. So I highly recommend it. And then I watched sports.
All right.
So yeah, I watched a little hockey too. It's looking bad for your Preds tonight, man.
I don't want to talk about that, but yeah, it is looking pretty bad.
You'd
call it grim.
You just need your damn goalie to show up.
Yep,
that's a problem. I mean, he carried you there last year.
Not happening right now.
But I still think if you win, you're going to be okay.
Okay,
so.
I'll watch until they get down two or it's close in the third.
Yeah. Well, usually knowing you, you'll probably just parachute in the second period, and then you'll see that they're down 3-1, and then
I'll just give up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's me. That's me as a sports fan in general. I'm a horrible sports fan. I just don't like anything.
Well, so far I'm looking pretty good on my second round predictions though, because I went 7-1 in the first round.
You got everything figured out again?
2-0 so far. And I had the Caps to upset the Penguins, which is looking pretty good. And I did pick Winnipeg to beat
you. Yeah, I saw you did that.
But that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Speaking of people taking things a little seriously, as much as – and I have to be honest, this is the least amount of hate that I've gotten after a bad race.
That's good.
And it really – it is good because I think most people realize that, hey, man, I put a lot of work into it, and it's my best guess. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. In this case, it didn't. And that's fine. We'll bounce back in a couple of weeks and try again. But I also know that if I'm going to put my stuff out there, that there's people are going to come after me. That's fine. Yeah. I fully accept that. But you see this Draymond Green and Andrew Polk thing?
Yeah.
I hope Draymond Green gets shot in the face as soon as he leaves the arena.
Which, yeah, that seems like unnecessary anger. But
yeah.
I don't know. I guess it's comedy, but
yeah, that's the thing. Is it? Is it really that funny?
I don't know. It's not a good look for sure. Wishing death on someone else is usually a bad call, but Draymond said he wasn't scared. He wasn't like, wasn't actually fearful. He just thought this guy's a moron, which that's kind of where I'm at too. I don't know that he's like, that Andrew Polk really wishes he was dead, but he could. I don't know him. I don't know Polk salad.
I'm not familiar with the guy.
Yeah, so normally once that happens, well, maybe it is. Yeah, I think his Twitter is now gone. So normally when you do something like that, the Twitter account attached to it usually disappears, and now it has.
Man, Draymond Green versus PG Tucker is going to be fun.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's going to be fun.
Oh, yeah. Difference is Draymond Green's
Oh, he's a better player, but well, they have the same attitude.
He's just so much bigger, too. Like, I love PJ Tucker. He's my favorite player on the Rockets. I love that he is just so gritty, and I know he has worked tirelessly to be where he is because he was not he's not a guy that a bunch of people believed in coming out of college. He was a good college player, good enough college player, but he's a second round draft pick. You know, nobody thought that he had a position, and that dude has worked and worked and worked. And yeah, he's made it this far, but I just think when you put him against Draymond Green, assuming that's who, I mean, PJ may be on Kevin Durant, you know, most of the game. That wouldn't shock me at all.
I think Trevor will be on KD.
Well, that may last a little while. I don't know if Trevor Ariza is still the once great defensive player that he was. I guess it's just going to depend on who where they need guys. And I don't know that Draymond – I mean, you know Draymond's not going to be checking PJ on the offensive end. In fact, Draymond's probably going to be on Clint Capella would be my guess. So I don't know if it'll be like a head-to-head matchup necessarily, but I do love the attitude on both those dudes.
See, 830 is the perfect example of what's wrong with the world. Well, don't ride on the street if there is a sidewalk or only use streets with bike lanes. You know what? You live in a big city, and the fact that more people are out riding bikes is a good thing. But, yeah, you're a dickweed. You know, you don't belong on the street. See, that's the problem. It's that mentality on that end. And then it's the way the cyclists act when they're out there cutting in front of cars and doing stupid stuff that makes idiots like that think that way.
Exactly.
So, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776.
Hey, Fred, guess what Sunday is? Mother's Day.
Oh.
Are you prepared?
Always.
Good. Always. I knew you would be. You're like a Boy Scout. if you're still looking for a great gift for the moms in your life, step it up this year and spoiler with something special. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas. Where can you get them? Only at pajamagram.com. They're available exclusively there. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, like pajama scientists, they've come up with the world's softest pajamas. They're lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny. Have you ever felt a bunny? They're like cashmere, only better. She's going to love the way they look and feel. They're lightweight. They're perfect for spring. And it's more than a gift. It's a feeling, a chance for her to relax and unwind. The world's softest pajamas, available only at pajamagram.com. Visit today. Surprise and delight her with the gift of softness, comfort, and relaxation. Plus, the best part is you don't have to gift wrap because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Mother's Day delivery is 100% guaranteed, %1,000. Go to pajamagram.com or give them a call at 1-800-GIVE-PJs. Tell them AJ with ESPN 97.5 sent you. That's pajamagram.com.
Your clock and grab your jock.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.